The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello all, and welcome once again to Black Mental Matters. It's your boy Vince the Voice, and guess who is back? Makiba Reed Johnson is back with us, everyone, and the crowd goes crazy. And hey, it's springtime is in the air now, pollen's everywhere, and we are ready to hit the streets. I did say streets, but first we got to get past this COVID. We got to get past this, and I understand why there's some hesitancy in our Black community. 2020 study found that Black babies were 3 times more likely to survive if they were cared for by a Black doctor than a white one. In 2010, minority women were forced to be sterilized in the U.S. prison system. Just months ago, a Black doctor, Dr. Susan Moore, spoke about getting racist treatment when she was being hospitalized for COVID, and then she succumbed to the infection. Well, between the mistrust, the misinformation, and COVID management that has not always looked at us, I think it's getting in a better direction now. How surprising is it that Black communities have lower vaccine acceptance? I got mine. How about you? How can public health officials help change the factors and in individual emotions to raise that vaccine uptake so we can get back out in these streets? Well, Makiba and I, we're going to chop that up for you right now. And hey, let's get back together, all right? It's Black Mental Matters.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm telling you, she's Black. She's back. Oh, man, I just need a stack. It is none other than Makiba Reed Johnson. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
See, this is why you're my friend.
What? Did we just all... Ladies and gentlemen, oh Lord, just made another one. Oh, Makiba, how you doing? Oh, I can't stop. I just gotta keep.
Oh my gosh, you are such good people. I'm hanging in there, Vince.
Yes.
Hanging in there. I'm excited to to be back on board on Black Mental Matters. This is mine and your, I think, first podcast this year.
Wow, you're right.
I think. So happy New Year.
Happy anniversary, girl. It's anniversary and Christmas, Kwanzaa, all that good stuff. And looks like things are getting better, and it's definitely better to have you back, Makiba, with such a great spirit and knowledge, and all those letters behind your name and all.
So stuff, girl.
I'm laughing,
Vince.
But I am serious as a heart attack, as they say. So people, prepare yourselves because Makiba's back. And boy, Makiba, let's just jump right into it. I don't want to. Yeah. We want to peek, but I got to bring it to the real. Do you know already 30 million cases of this COVID stuff has hit America?
Right.
550,000 plus deaths because of this COVID, right?
Right.
And yes, just like everything else, when there's something bad, it affects the Black community even more, disproportionately. Absolutely. Impacts us.
Absolutely. And this is coming up on a year now. Well, this month was March was, the annual anniversary of, when we first started having the conversations about COVID and shut down and gyms were closed and businesses were closed and they closed assisted living places. So, it's been a year and it's been a lot, but particularly for Black folks, just like you said, Vince, Black people are 3 times more likely than whites to get COVID. So that's number one. And then there's also a race class thing that, that we have to look at too, that less affluent people are doubly disadvantaged. It's harder for poor Black people to remain socially distant if you have to still get on the bus or the train to go to work every day, or if you're still in customer service where you're on the front line or you're a healthcare worker. So there have been a lot of people, and my heart goes out to them, Vince. There have been a lot of people whose work schedule remained exactly the same throughout COVID. And my hat goes off to those people, and my prayers are definitely with those people, because I don't see, I couldn't have gone through everything I went through last year and maintained a 9-to-5, 40-hour week work schedule.
Yes.
So I don't know how these folks did it, but it, just like what you just said, we are impacted disproportionately with this whole pandemic, and it's been a year, and now we're starting to come out of it. So this is the conversation that, you know, you and I are about to have.
Well, I'll tell you, and there is a silver lining I want to say in everything, because the racial inequalities have been exposed big time.
Yes.
The healthcare system infected with biases that proven to affect the way Black patients are treated. Our criminal justice system used to enforce stay at home orders, going so far as to ticket, fine, and arrest folks not practicing social. I'm looking at a brother down there in Miami.
Wow.
I know they shouldn't be down there in Miami, but all I'm seeing is his brothers getting arrested down there in Miami.
Oh,
you
no.
know, at sole discretion of the police. Students who relied on school meals going hungry because they're not in school, parents who don't have the luxury, as you say, of working from home, how they gonna keep the lights on and the water running? It is just on and on. And then our young people, our kids, I mean, what they're going through, who need that connecting with others to feel good about themselves, and now this social connecting, they can't do that by us, you know, we already know, but now it's been illuminated. And hopefully, because we got this new president in office, we can get some things happening, but we still got to let, because it is affecting our psyche in more ways than we know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the overview of years from now, when this is in the past and Black people collectively look at, you know, the year 2020 and COVID, we are also looking at the fact that, Vince, Black Americans had to combat COVID and systemic racism and survive a presidential administration that gave white supremacy a green light.
And that is our enemy. Hold on. Hold that thought. White supremacy is the enemy. It is not racism.
Absolutely.
Because
thank you.
You see what I'm saying? Because of that white supremacy thought mind, then they start doing racist stuff. But it's white supremacy. Okay, continue, please.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And also the financial hardships that Black people underwent during the economic crisis. I mean, we have layers on top of layers, and you know, you host boxing matches, Vince. So you've seen what happens when a person has been set up by some punches, you know, tagged with a couple of punches, and then that last little punch comes in after being set up and it just knocks the person out. That's kind of how COVID-19 felt last year. It was just one blow after the other, after the other. Black people at you know, March, April, May, June, our safe spaces didn't even exist anymore, because we were, you know, at home, social distancing, and then you're trying to be online, trying to check on your family members, and your news feed pops up where somebody who you thought was a friend is, you know, saying outrageous, culturally insensitive, you know, thoughts and content that is in alignment with white supremacy. And so a lot of Black people, after, on top of everything else they were dealing with you know, whether it was deaths in the family, them being sick themselves, economic hardships, then you're finding out people that you've aligned yourself with don't give a damn about you. I mean, that was probably one of the most eye-opening situations that I feel like collectively Black people experienced on social media during the pandemic. And that was very hard for a lot of people, because a lot of people lost what they thought were some good friends.
Yeah. You speaking to the choir. I did this. I had to do some cleansing. And then
I saw you going off and I was like,
And then, you know, you have to keep digging until you look at your friend list. You got, you know, a couple thousand or something. Say, wait a minute. I ain't heard nothing from this person. Right. And then you go to their page. What? Are you serious, my man?
It's a Confederate flag and all lives matter. Yes.
Oh, my God. It is so... And so, you know, us as a people, not to mention, you know, this voting stuff that's going on now, you know, with the laws to keep us from voting. I mean, it is a full frontal attack. However, first let's acknowledge, and then, you know, we're going to try to give some solutions before our time clicks out today. Something else I wanted to talk about just for a moment, because we're trying to come out of COVID. All right. They got these vaccinations. It ain't a vaccination. It ain't an evacuation. It's a vaccination. I done heard these things called, man, they got them evacuations down there at Kroger. No, it's a vaccination. And I've had mine. And so,
me too.
You know, it's going to help us folks to come out of this thing. However, people want to keep using like stuff like Tuskegee as a scapegoat. You know, Lord, I mean, and you know what? I understand that. But you know what, folks? It ain't about the Tuskegee that's got us all hesitant. It's what happened to me yesterday.
Thank you.
What happened.
Absolutely.
We ain't tripping out still about all them other, stories, history. We talking about what you did to us yesterday, what you're doing to us today.
Absolutely. And that's where the mistrust in the government comes from, especially after the heels of coming out of the Trump administration, where you didn't know what was the truth concerning this vaccine and this virus. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
They're confusing the hesitancy with refusal. And they're two separate things. If you, you know, talk to us in a certain way, let us know. I mean, I see it's kind of hard, especially when you see someone who's in a nursing outfit talking about she's not going to get the thing. I'm like,
No, you're absolutely right. And I wanted to bring this up. A woman by the name of Dr. Kismika Corbett is a research fellow and scientific lead at the National Institute of Health. And she has been on the front lines in working with a team of scientists who helped study the Moderna vaccine. And, you know, of course, we know that now this is one of the three vaccines that have been passed and have been okayed. And Dr. Kismika Corbett is now trying to encourage Black people to get this vaccine. And what I want people to really get from this podcast when they listen to it, Vince, is, of course, that it was horrible what happened with the Tuskegee experiment. And there have been other cases and instances in healthcare where Blacks have been mistreated and used as guinea pigs in research and unethical practices. But we have to remember that because of those instances that Black people, young Black people, wanted to go to medical school and they wanted to study and get into the field of medicine and healing and to be in a position where they can make a difference, where this doesn't happen.
Yes.
Because if you have Black doctors and you have oversight where Black people are involved in research, this is what makes a difference. And I mean, her name is Kismika, for goodness sake. I mean, this is our girl.
That's right.
She actually had a quote, and she said, "I want to make it clear that the work that we have been doing for so long, I personally stand by it, essentially with all of my being." I mean, so when we look at where we are now, we can't always go back to the past.
Right.
Like, you know, like there's no progress. We are individually. I mean, Kismika, her name is Dr.
That's
Kismika Corbett.
That's right.
And for her to now be down in history as being one of the lead scientists to help this vaccine come out, Vince, this is a big deal. And hopefully she has as much weight as a celebrity that might go out there and say, hey, you know, the vaccine is fine, go on and get it. I mean, I've been vaccinated, Vince. My mom has been vaccinated. My husband and my kids are getting vaccinated Wednesday.
Awesome.
It's right. And it's not just about you. It's about others around you.
And, you know, one of the things, one of the reasons we started this podcast as it related to mental health, we talked about, you know, encouraging young folks to get into the medical field. That's what we need. We need that Kismika. We need Dr. Tyrone. We need Dr., you know, folks that look like us, a more diverse medical workforce, providers who are trained to be anti-racist. I mean, start it now. Now that we know, come on, let's start with, you know, do that training and increase those efforts to reduce those those disparities, that will further us along, and that will help us come out of this. Because hey, this is COVID, but it may be something else. You know, next week, who knows?
That's right. No, you're absolutely right. There's also a doctor here in Atlanta. Her name is Dr. Nicole Peoples, and she's with WellStar Health at Windy Hill. She's advocating for African Americans to take the vaccine, and she says, and this is a quote from her. She says, "This isn't just about you. It's about the grandmother you're going to see, or yes, your mother who could end up in a hospital because you didn't take precautions." So this should be seen as something where we in the Black community are compliant with getting this vaccine to keep our community safe, to keep ourselves safe.
Yes,
absolutely.
We have to demand, I think, also for the CDC and health departments include race in their data, because mm-hmm. there is a difference mm-hmm. in the way we're going to respond to stuff than, say, folks who have that, kind of more privileged thoughts. We just kind of come into things kind of wary anyway, wondering why. We're doing a study and working with the NAACP. We're doing a study now trying to figure out why brothers don't vote. I mean, there was a lot of votes for this last time. Not trying to change the set, but the study mm-hmm. will show.
No,
we want to find out what's the reason. So the same thing as it relates to our health care and mm-hmm. definitely our mental health and of course, getting this vaccine that's supposed to save us all. We need this thing
absolutely.
In order to get back together again.
Absolutely. And when you think about everything that we've come through, I've had this conversation with my mom after we lost my dad last year, to think about everything that you've come through, not just last year, but just, you know, being the ancestor of a slave and going through, you know, looking at what your parents went through, looking at what your grandparents have gone through, looking at what you have gone through, and with the systemic racism, being nervous when you're getting pulled over by the police because you don't know if you're going to come out of it alive. And then for you to then say, well, I'm not going to get this vaccine. Like this cannot be the literal hill that you die on after everything else that you have endured to try to preserve yourself, especially people who are saying, Vince, and I got to be real about this, the people that are saying, well, I don't know what's in it.
Right.
You don't know what's in the Big Mac, and you don't know what's in the hot Cheetos.
That can of beverage you're drinking, and your brews, and your alcohol.
Right.
I mean, you don't know. That's right. That's right. You are so right.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So if you are just a staunch person that is like, hey, I'm just very particular about what goes into my body, and it's my choice. Okay. That I can understand. But if you're also eating fast food and, you know, getting high and doing a whole bunch of other stuff, you know, eating foods that aren't good for you, not exercising, don't try to tell me that you're concerned about this vaccine, because you're not.
That's right. You don't know
so
what you smoking.
So you can't have it both ways.
That's right. You don't know what you've been smoking. All you know is
no, you don't. Unless you grow it yourself. You don't know. So.
Or what it's doing to you on top of that,
right.
too. You know, what
right.
it's doing to you. You know, yes, we have to address this distrust that is going on, because that distrust also leads to more emotional distress,
yes.
depression, anxiety, exclusion. You walking around, riding around, you know, the whole world is against me. And that's not the case. We got to take ownership of these things. These are our communities. This is our mental matters, Black mental
Absolutely.
Matters.
Absolutely.
We also, McKee, we got to get our political and medical leadership, reach out to folks and talk to, I guess, what? People like fraternities, sororities, house of worship,
yes.
community centers, who to ensure that critical messages about this stuff gets out to the community through trusted community networks. Hey, I like Dr. Fauci. I think he's
I
cool.
Do too.
But if his name would have been Dr. Farrakhan or something, you know, I'd maybe listen
to Dr. Umar.
You know, Dr. Umar, or whatever. I mean, we got to use those methods that really reach
yes.
us.
You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
You, as the public health a professional that you are, you also know that, the social distancing has been essential in preventing it, but it's having an adverse effect on our mental and emotional well-being as well. There are some things that we can do to battle that, like, get some outdoor activities going on where we're not so close to each other, you know, that kind of thing. Some safe spaces for children. children to learn, support, mm-hmm. and socially engage, and allow parents to return. Because if you've got a young child and they have to stay home, now you can't, it has greatly affected mothers. You
That's
know.
Absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And then especially with, you know, maybe black single moms that don't have the support of a partner, you're absolutely right. It has been a tough year, but you know, you just pointed out some key things that are really medicinal. Getting outside in nature is a game changer, and not just physically being out there, but being out there mentally too. So you can't go on a leisurely walk and think about your problems and the stuff that you're going through, because then, you know, you're not fully there. But to actually start paying attention and being aware when you're outdoors and being aware of your sense perceptions and you know, what you see, what you smell, what you hear, that is so helpful with combating anxiety. In fact, my husband found over the weekend, it's really interesting, it's a group of blacks who own Jeeps, and they travel the country doing off-road riding and camping. And I mean, I would have never known that was even out there. So there are communities online that you can attach yourself to start broadening out and just getting outside of your little bubble of, you know, the way things are, especially if you've been socially. I've been socially distancing now, Vince, for a year. And let me tell you, It's exhausting, especially when you are still coming up against, you know, people that don't think the virus is real and they don't want to wear a mask and this whole thing. But you have got to do you. Yeah. You know, and get to the point where, you know, if somebody around you is not wearing a mask or they don't want to get the vaccine or just, I mean, you just let that person go be in QAnon land or whatever the heck that they believe in. Let them go be on their own little planet, and you take care of you and yours. And that means you get the vaccination and you protect yourself and your family and your loved ones.
Well, you're so right about getting outdoors. You know, we haven't been together in a while, but you'd be proud of me. I'm not doing it as regular as I should. I had committed I was going to do, you know, at least 3 times a week, but I've been walking. Tracy and I, we get out and, you know, walk. And when that walker or runner come by that ain't got his mask on, we turn to the other side. Like, you know, but it has been very therapeutic. We feel better, you know. It's been helping with your digestive system. Wait, Makeba, I even had a colonoscopy since last time we got together, girl.
Look at you. Go black man.
I've been on a roll trying to get my
that's
little
what
stuff
I'm
together.
Talking about. Look at you taking care of you.
And that's what we have to do as a black community, whether it's this dang COVID virus, and of course, internally with ourselves, our bodies, our communicating with one another, our health care, all these things, and they're all intertwined. That's what also, you know, sometimes irks me is how folks want to pick one thing and say, well, if you just did this. No, we can't do that because all these other things is so jacked up.
Absolutely. No, you are absolutely right. Yeah, it takes more than one thing because you have to have like a little toolbox and a little kit of your arsenal of things that you do to take care of yourself. You're absolutely right. I just want to touch on just one thing real quick, Vince. Please. You mentioned the importance of, you know, the black fraternities and the sororities. And I just want to mention that my organization, Sigma Gamma Rho, we actually have a part of the organization that is about research for the black community, and it's called community-based research, and the platform is called All of Us Research, and it actually addresses the implications of the Tuskegee experiment and why black people are hesitant to receive vaccinations or other medications or to be involved in research. And that's the game changer, is when you have the researchers, the black researchers that can have a conversation with the potential person that's going to be in the research study or getting the vaccine to tell you, hey, this is what this is. This is what's in it. This is how this thing was, you know, was derived in a lab. These are the testings. These are the implications. These are the side effects. When that can come out of your own community, that's what builds the trust.
Yes, yes. And you said, I mean, all coming together too. I mean, when we think about the real changes that have taken place here in America, the March on Washington that led to the Voting Rights Act that we're still, you know, now revisiting mentioned again, but it was because there was a culmination of groups, SCLC, SNCC, CORE, the NAACP, they all came together. And that's what we have to do, folks, rich, poor, the deltas, AKI, you know, I'm not, whatever. We need to come together. And then those that have those expertises, like yourself and others, can present to us. And it actually makes a difference, and it works. It resonates with us. Say, okay, you know, Makeba, yeah, like, oh, what's the other doctor name? What was her name again? Karencha?
Dr. Kizmikia, K-I-Z-Z-M-E-K-I-A.
Kizmikia, when I see Kizmikia, you know, talking about it, when I see Makeba talking about it, like, maybe I need to go ahead and, like, just go ahead and get that shot, you know? It's okay. Because when they first came out, you did see, you know, some people, they had like the first person to get a shot, I think it was a nurse. It was a black lady. I'm not seeing that no more.
No, I'm not either. I haven't seen a lot of either. I've seen doctors come on their own social media platforms and advocate for black people to get the vaccine. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Just that, you know, with the media and people getting the vaccine live on television, I have not seen that much of that either. But I do know that the president of Morehouse School of Medicine got her shot on television that reason. She's amazing. She's amazing.
She is. Morehouse School of Medicine. And so, you know, this COVID has affected the lives of all Americans. And, you know, we are very forgiving and communal people. So we like to say all, but hey, it has really affected us in this black community, in our black community. Social disruption, losses more severely than whites. Whole lot of factors that have caused this to happen. And it is because of the inequity, the inequalities that we have in the United States. So what I want to see us do is use this as a springboard to a whole lot of better outcomes for us in all kind of, I mean, thank God, the farmers going to get them a little something. I'm so happy for the farmers, you know. Biden didn't sign a deal. The farmers going to get a little something. I haven't got no check. I'm waiting on my little check. but you know, hey, see what happens when we all come together. We all came together. We voted for Warnock. We voted for Ossoff. We voted for Biden, and there are changes that took place. That's how we come out of this stuff, working together.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And just the fact that there is voter suppression and that people don't want black people in particular to vote, that should light a fire you as a black person.
That's right.
You know, as far as, okay, they don't want me to vote, that means that there is power in that single vote that you have, because that single vote then becomes collective.
That's right.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Before we only got a couple minutes, Makeba left, but one of the impetuses for this coming out of COVID, I really want to help those young people out there. And I know parents who are dealing with their children during this, because I've heard some, you know, stories, and you'll hear the stories. However, young people are going through these things, whether they are talking about it or not. Could you give just a few words of encouragement or advice or some direction for those parents or those young people?
Sure. Well, I will give some advice just on my own experience. I have two boys at home. One is 25 and one is 21. And just we've had conversations during this whole thing of making sure that they're having conversations with me about how they're feeling.
Yes.
You know, we do daily mental health check-ins. Are you okay? I have gotten off their cases about, you know, keeping the rooms clean, and you know, that's not as important as the mental health stuff.
Yes.
And to create a space within your home where your kid can make mistakes and go through their ups and downs, and where you are there for them. And I think it's so important. This is what I had to learn personally, Vince. What really helps you as a parent in the parent-child relationship is when you realize your child is really not here to make you proud. And when I really started realizing that as a parent, that my child is from a higher source, they're not mine. They're from a higher source and they belong to that higher source. Their life is not just about living up to my expectations, because that was causing me stress and it was causing them stress. And when I started looking at, okay, let me love my kids unconditionally and let me let them be who they are, because that's how I want God to look at me. And that's how I want to be loved. I want to be loved without condition. And just as a parent, especially as a Black parent, because I know I'm speaking from experience, you know, we have this thing of do this, do that. There's an expectation. We're in the Black community, especially if you are middle class Black, boy, you better not mess up and don't tell our business outside this house. So we have to kind of soften that when it comes to our kids, because our kids are going through things and they're not telling us because the space is not, has not been created for them. So I encourage Black parents that are at home with their kids, no matter what their age, have the conversations with them about how they're feeling, and then listen. Don't sit there and think about what you're going to say next. Actually listen.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what can we say? Choir, start singing.
Ushers, pass that collection plate.
All that good stuff, girl. You spanked me. Lord, thank you. We're going to come out of COVID together. We're going to be all right. Raise your hand. Touch your radio. Put your hand on the speaker. Black Mental Matters with Makeba and Vince is back in black, baby. Thank you,
hello. Makeba.
Thank you so much, baby. So good.
My pleasure.
Good to have you. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Black Mental Matters.